It's a Friday edition here on Zero Blog 30, and today we are presented by our good friends at ArborTech. Make sure that you're going to arbortechtools.com, enter the promo code Zero. You're going to get 25% off, which is insane. It's insane. Just today, I went to a store called Woodcraft because I'm going to be building something this week. I might be building a mallet. I might be building, what was my other thing? I was going to build a mallet. I was going to build like a little reading thing that you put in your on your thumb for a book for wifey.
Nice.
And there's one. Oh, a stool. This is Barstool Sports. I might actually do a little bit of a barstool action with some of the stuff that I have. I got the power carver this week, which will make it easier. The power planner. Make sure that you go to arbortechtools.com and the promo code Zero. You're going to get 25% off. It's fantastic equipment and a fantastic price. And today we have a fantastic show for you, which is going to be five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we're just going to do a little upbeat, lighthearted election chat. Nothing serious. We're not going to piss anybody off. Nobody's going to get triggered like a little bitch. Don't worry about it. We're going to be nice and kind. Round number two, is someone staring at your tits? Or are they just trying to see your rank? That's a problem the Navy is addressing with new patches, and we'll keep you, look sideways, abreast of the situation there. Round number three, if you've ever gotten in big trouble for something really small, you're going to hate this story of a Marine Lieutenant Colonel, which is an Kate?
Okay position to be in. You're
okay position
money.
To be in.
Five.
Getting off scot-free after stealing several expensive items from the PX. Round number four, speaking of punishments, we asked for your best examples, and we're going to decide if things were fair or not. And finally, round number five, yoga pants and the PX are now a no-go. Kate's kind of burying the lead there a little bit.
They're a yes-go. They're,
yeah, they are a yes-go. But I also, there's a letter that came out from, who was it? The Undersecretary of Defense or something like that. One of those folks said, PT gear's authorized basically anywhere you want. And I got upset about it. I know Kyle did too. We're going to talk about that in round number five, and we're going to start doing it right damn now. It feels like a year since we recorded
this
on
is
Monday.
A long ass week, I have to tell you. You're right. I'm like, oh shit, we already recorded this week. It's still this week. My God.
I got to give you a little look behind the curtain, folks. You know, normally people ask me, Cons, how you doing? I am always an upbeat guy, a positive individual. I usually got a positive message for anybody that's talking to me.
You're the golden retriever.
The golden retriever. You want to go for a ride? Sure, dude. Don't care where we're going. Let's go. I'll get in the car.
Wag your tail.
Today, not one of those days, let me tell you.
Yeah, my bad.
Now, well, even before we get into the stool streams, I got word that the Army Air Force game this weekend, I know, oh, nobody cares about football, whatever. Not being played. Air Force is scared. That's really what it comes down to. They got more than enough players
to
play.
What happened? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
A bunch of COVID or something?
Bunch of COVID. And they preemptively said, like, ah, we can't play this weekend, even though they still have a big enough roster that they could play, but we won't get into those specifics. And then Kate and I went into the Triple S, the Stool Streams
Studio.
For Jenga.
I lost at Jenga. So we got three things. Army games canceled. We lost at Jenga. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah. And honestly, I will say too, the uncertainty around the election is just so exhausting. It really is.
When do you think it'll be? I think this thing goes another day. Nobody cares.
Well,
like, we just don't have the attention span for it. 3 days?
It's like edging.
Oh my God.
If you're familiar with pornos, I am. This is pretty much edging, but it's edging that there's a fine line in edging people. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, if you go on too long, you can only stay hard for America. In such an intensity, I mean, we're always hard for America, but it's this hard for what's going on. I'm starting to lose my boner a little bit for
seriously.
The election.
I mean, I got to give these networks and all these talking heads so much credit because they're talking, but nothing. It seems like nothing's really happening. So yes, chaps, I'm with you. I'm about at the point where I'm ready to turn it off and just say, all right, just let me know who wins. I'm all set on the discussion back and forth.
If things end the way that they look like they're going to now, like say Joe Biden is elected president and then you have a Republican Senate and a narrow majority in the House for Democrats, this next 2 years is essentially going to be the American palate cleanser, where we can get all of the politics out of the way. Absolutely nothing is going to happen. If you don't have the Senate and you have the presidency and you have the House,
we're not getting anything done.
Go on.
No,
yeah.
No shot.
I mean, Mitch McConnell's already said he's not going to approve certain cabinet level members. Just absolutely nothing's going to be done. And I think that that's okay. Let's just do the little status quo action and see what happens in 2022.
Yeah, and
just
a 2 year break. To give you guys an idea of where we're at right now, normally we record on Thursday mornings for the show that comes out Friday morning, and we decided let's hold off and record Thursday night because we'll know more. We don't. As of this recording, Biden is ahead. The Senate is tied. The House has Dems over Republicans, but things are still subject to change. There's still states up in the air, and we just don't know. I believe
Georgia's
Arizona—
9,000 votes, which is crazy. I mean, a state the size of Georgia— to come down to 9,000 people.
That's wild.
Less people than have been at like a socially distanced baseball game is crazy town.
Like, also, that's, Pennsylvania, that's a huge one people are waiting for. They're like, we'll know by tonight. I think Arizona was like, check in on Saturday. Sorry. Like, they're like, what? Like, so.
Yeah, Nevada was like, we're not doing it. Nevada and North Carolina both were like, we're not going to put any more numbers up until November 12th. Like, what are you doing?
Okay.
You're going to have so many Marines that are hungover from being drunk at the ball on November 12th. They won't even know what's going on. You're going to have some drunk Lance Corporal that might have to change out the presidential picture. He's going to be all fucked up. That's not fair.
I saw a great screenshot, and then someone said, man, we should just – this goes back to what we've always said about people having this grandiose idea of the military. Somebody said, we should just get the Army to do these votes. I've seen a lot of things happen before 1700, and someone replied underneath them, what are you talking about? We can't even count off from front to rear.
Yeah, we have trouble counting. We have big trouble counting.
Oh, man, I miss counting off from front to rear.
Yeah.
When you do it and you have a big rear and you're talking about like 70 and somebody fucks up and hits like 38 twice in a row, oh, follow it big time. That's fire.
Forget it. Wow. Well, speaking of the military count, election experts say that U.S. service members voting absentee, as well as those voting where they're stationed, could make a difference. Back in 2016, more than 252,000 active duty troops, congrats to me on getting that number, voted by absentee ballot. The U.S. Election Assistance Commission predicted that in 2020, military absentee voting will be even higher than that. Past elections have shown that absentee ballots from the military can be potentially decisive. So, kind of a big deal. And I like this right here. Jeremy Teagan, a professor of poli-sci at Ramapo College in New Jersey, said that there's this perception that the armed forces exhibit some kind of compelling conservative or Republican biases that have something to do with why people join. But at the enlisted level, politics is substantially dwarfed by occupational concerns and the sense of doing something that's adventurous or trying to get the GI Bill. Basically, we're not enlisting for political reasons.
No.
If you, the military's made so political, if you came down to the troops right now, most of them don't give a fuck. They're in the smoke pit ripping beers. So.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's based on age, honestly.
Yes, it's an age thing.
You're taking young enlisted folks, that is a majority of the military by far, probably 75-80% of the military is junior enlisted people. I mean, you might have 18-19-year-olds. They don't give a fuck about what's going on. It's been, like, you move them overseas. When I was in Japan, I remember looking at the election and you'd see polling. Like, I think at the time, the 2004 election was the first one that I was in the military for. And I remember seeing the numbers that were coming out in Florida, and I think it was 2004, so it was Bush's second time.
Mm-hmm.
He was up by like fucking 15% or something like that in Florida. It's like, I'm not going to mail my vote in from Okinawa, Japan. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to figure out how to be an absentee person when it's just not worth it. I don't know very many people who did vote from overseas.
No,
honestly.
No shot.
I was in either. I think when you're in two, you're like, well, whoever wins, am I still getting fucked over by my command next week?
Yeah, exactly.
Then I really don't care.
It's much more of a local concern. I think probably the only concern at the military level is Are they going to give us a pay raise next year or not?
Who knows?
That's really what it comes down to.
It would be helpful if we had more veterans running for seats in Congress this year. We had a few more than did in 2018, but overall, the House and Senate likely to show little change. At the last count, 74 of the 182 veterans running for House and Senate have been declared winners, while 83 had lost. Going into Tuesday's elections, there were 77 vets in the 435-member House and 18 in the 100-member Senate. Seth Lynn, director of Veterans Campaign, projected the number of vets might increase by 1 to 78, and Senate 16 to 18 range. So more, are there any enlisted veterans in the House or the Senate?
I would have to look that up. I really don't know.
I think Ruben Gallego is one.
Okay.
He's a Marine, and he is a congressman from Arizona. I believe that he was enlisted.
It made me happy to see some of my veteran buddies from Fordham and from when I served were running in their small town local elections and stuff like that across the country, and that was pretty cool to see. So I always love seeing veterans.
I knew a dude that was an absolute shitbag he won like some election to be some sheriff in a county in Tennessee, like a tiny little county.
Yep.
And whenever it came across my Facebook page, he had been out for like 4 or 5 years and I was still in. I remember thinking, this guy, like, that guy stole government gas. Like,
Well, a lot of times those smaller elections, you're running unopposed. So it's basically like, if you raise your hand and say, I want to run, okay, cool. Seats yours.
I know.
And in little things where it's like you're going to be on the town council or something like that. In a lot of these small towns, you put yourself in uniform or you put yourself in a big cowboy hat,
it's an
automatic win. If you have enough money in your campaign chest to be able to put a cowboy hat on and with a picture, that's an election in Texas. You're winning that bad boy.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I completely agree.
It is great to see how many veterans are getting involved at the federal level, though, both in the House and the Senate. And I think, in general, we would benefit, this is my opinion, just skewing younger in Washington, D.C., for everything.
Out with the olds. Get them out of there. We need fresh hands. None of these weird blue old man politicians.
I'm tired of these old-ass Supreme Court justices, too. Like, why don't you get 75, I don't trust you with anything. Like, if you're 75 years old, I don't trust you with shit. That's part of the problem, I think, with Biden and Trump running for president being old as shit.
Both
of them are old.
What was so crazy, I heard, and it never occurred to me because this guy was the president so long ago now, but Bill Clinton is still younger than both Biden and Trump.
Insane.
That's nuts.
Like, this is when you know that
Jimmy Carter's fucking damn near younger than Biden.
Whether Biden or Trump gets elected, either one, I wouldn't be surprised to hear the news that they're in the hospital because they swallowed an ear pod, thinking it was a medicine or something. Like, you know, like, swallowed his AirPod.
But it is super exciting that it'll be the first time whenever the president gets off of Air Force One or HMX One that the young Lance Corporal that's saluting him whenever he gets off will also be handed a Werther's Original, which will be very nice.
Nice little Werther's Original. Absolutely. Maybe a little strawberry candy wrapped up in the... As for former Zero Block 30 guests, Senator Martha McSally, a Republican and retired Air Force colonel, has lost her Senate seat to Democratic challenger Mark Kelly in Arizona, and we had his brother on.
I had to ask you guys which one of those guys did we have on the show, because I'm sorry, I could not remember. I've never been good about being able to tell twins
apart.
We had Scott
Kelly on the show, but that was a highly contested one. Democratic State Senator Kai Kahele won the Hawaii House seat, being vacated by U.S. Rep. Tulsi Gabbard, and I believe Kahele is in the National Guard, so a veteran replacing veteran. And then California Representative Duncan Hunter still gearing up for prison in January.
That's good to hear.
More of a Babadook vibe.
And more of a Babadook vibe. Chaps, you have two more updates.
So from Texas, Dan Crenshaw won his very weird looking district, and our friend Adam Kinzinger won overwhelmingly in Illinois. Congrats to him. There's also been news that the Secretary of Defense might change. That is legitimately a concern for this. I joked about it. I posted a tweet on Zero Block 30's Twitter account that talked about an actual change of command. This one, the transition, if it is Biden to Trump, they aren't going to be talking to each other. There's no shot they're talking to each other.
I'm sorry. This is not necessarily immature, but someone also tweeted that they think Trump is the type of individual to leave a big old log in the toilet for Biden if he takes over.
Because they do perform pranks on each other. It's tradition in the White House. So like when, I think it was when Clinton was vacating for Bush, they took all the W's off the keyboards on the computers, like little stuff like that. They're just lighthearted and fun. And I can see Trump leaving a log.
But can you imagine, you know, because it also is tradition for the outgoing president to leave a note in the Oval Office for the incoming president. I would pay good money to read whatever it is that President Trump would say to Biden if, in fact, Joe Biden wins the presidency. That would probably be pretty interesting. But we won't know that probably till next month anyway.
We probably won't know. But back to Defense Secretary Mark Esper is expected to resign in the coming days. That's big scuttlebutt coming out. But a lot of establishment figures are saying, please stick around to ensure a peaceful transition should Biden win the presidency. Since Esper's relationship with Trump soured over the summer, the Defense Secretary has been widely expected to depart shortly after Election Day, no matter who wins, whether it's Biden or Trump. The issue was revived Thursday on NBC when Esper was apparently, it's come out that he's preparing his letter of resignation. So, interesting, you're right,
too. Would you stay if you were on the side of the executive branch that lost and you're in Esper's position where you know the president doesn't like you anyways? Like, would you stay? I don't think I would.
No.
Like, I'd be like, I'm the fuck out of here.
I think for the country, for right now, and the way the vibe is, for a sign of strength and some sort of solidarity or something, I think I would maybe try to stay a month or two. But then I'd be out. I'd be on a beach somewhere.
I think
somewhere.
That's the only way that Esper can really salvage a little bit of respect.
Yeah.
Is doing that. Mm-hmm. Sticking around for a little bit. But there was, I want to bring up, because Connor mentioned the fact that a lot of presidents leave notes for their counterparts. That always makes me think of one that HW left for Bill. And I think when you're in the position of, like HW was, when you weren't an 8-year president, it's a lot more difficult because you are giving it to somebody that beat you directly. Like Obama having to transfer over to Trump, sure, I'm sure he didn't like that at all. But Trump didn't beat Obama. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton beat HW. Mm-hmm. And the letter that he left him I thought was beautiful. He said, when I walked into this office just now, I felt the same sense of wonder and respect that I felt 4 years ago. I know you'll feel that too. I wish you great happiness here. I never felt the loneliness some presidents have described. There will be very tough times made more difficult by criticism you may not think is fair. I'm not a very good one to give advice, but just don't let the critics discourage you or push you off course. You will be our president when you read this note. I wish you well. I wish your family well. Your success now is our country's success. I'm rooting hard for you. That is what it should be like.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah. And I think, too, overall, overwhelmingly, what you see online and on the news is not the reality. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
No matter who it is, we're going to be okay. Life's going to go on, and we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But there you have it. That's the election update. As of now, Thursday night, after Tuesday's election, we still do not know. Hopefully, maybe as you're listening to this on Friday, there will be an answer. But who knows? America.
And I want to make one more point before we move on from the election stuff. It's odd for me, because I think I've told Cons this before. There is nothing I hate more in sports, and this is the reason why I hate Nick Foles so much. There's nothing I hate more in sports than quarterback answers. Mm-hmm. Like where you know exactly what you're supposed to say, you say that just because you're supposed to. I hate that in sports. Be cocky as fuck. Be like Deion Sanders in sports. I wouldn't mind if we had some more quarterback answers coming from the Oval Office. Yeah. I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, and things to calm things down, because the very real feeling that like things could be really ugly and scary. It's like, yeah.
I guess last thing I will say, though, too, I don't know if either of you watched the show Veep, but it's pretty, I don't want to say scary, but it's fascinating, the parallels between the show Veep and how this thing is playing out.
Yeah.
And the way that they were able to predict certain things. It's quite funny. So if anybody listening watches or has watched Veep, trust that it's very interesting right now.
But we're going to be okay. I just hope everyone had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope everybody
had fun.
I hope everyone had fun.
I did not have a good time.
No.
I did not have a good time at all. All right, let's move on to round number two. We're going to do a little rank goof and starting with the Navy. Kate, what's going on with our beloved seafaring friends?
Well, first of all, I feel like anybody who has served knows this feeling where if you forgot your glasses or your contacts are a little fuzzy that day, or you're like me and you neglect your eye care altogether so you can't see shit, it is stressful walking around a military base because you see the higher up an enlisted rank, it just looks like a black clump on somebody. You have no idea. And when
especially in Woodlands, Woodland camis, like the green ones are the worst.
Because they'll blend in with the little black splotches on the collar, too, and you can't tell at all.
Good morning!
But
the difference between Mass Sergeant and Gunny and the Marine Corps was just like, it's one little swoop underneath, and you can't see shit.
Yeah. You can't see it, and if you're lower enlisted, you're supposed to address them by their exact rank. So there's these moments where you're walking, you know, across the sidewalk, and you see someone coming, and you're like, you almost stop and go roundabout in another direction because you don't want to have to deal with what the fuck their rank is. So it can
which is one of the reasons why I believe the Marine Corps does ranks the way we're the only ones that do it. Like where you have to call everybody by their very specific rank, staff sergeant, gunnery sergeant, master guns, because it's just another reason to yell at you.
Right.
Like all the other service, you can call anybody sergeant who's E5 and above and you're going to be okay. The rest of us, like in the Marine Corps, we just need one more reason to yell.
No, in the Army, E5, E6, E7, you can say sergeant. Once you get to E8 and above, you need to start with first sergeant or master sergeant.
Yeah.
And top. It's much easier, though, I will say, in the Army, and I think a lot of the other branches with officers, it's just sir, ma'am.
Yeah, or in the Army, it's Doug, Sally, whatever. You know, who gives a fuck? But I'll say in the Navy, their uniforms, like, it's hard enough in the Marine Corps you're talking about. That's on the collar. The Navy has their rank on a little Velcro patch, literally go right in between the nipples. That's where it is. That's
so
where
that
patch
Army. Is. That's what the Army's is in their uniforms, too.
Correct.
They've been having a little bit of a problem, so we'll get into the story here. The Navy approved new rank tabs that will better stand out against woodland camouflage after sailors complained about having to stare at each other's chests to discern their shipmate's rank. So basically, it was the same thing as the Marine Corps, but instead of looking at the collar, you're looking right at somebody's tits trying to figure out who
but
they are.
That's also bullshit because I know from working with a bunch of Navy people, they all wear their rank on their covers too, like on their hats. They have their rank insignia right there square in the head. So unless if you're outside, you'll be able to see it.
But I think
you're inside, you might have to do a little titty staring.
I think they're talking about titty staring on board the ship, inside the ship. But basically, your concerns have been heard, said Navy Personnel Command. The Navy has now authorized a new and more recognizable rank tab for optional wear. Instead of blending in with the camo, it's red, silver, or gold rank insignia sewn onto black rectangles, which will now be... So you'll still be glancing at the tits area, but now it'll just be way quicker. You won't have to linger.
Just
anymore.
Move it up to the old fucking collar.
Right. Like, I don't know.
Now, like they had to come up with this crazy ass idea. Like, just move it to the collars. Like, it's not you can stare at somebody's shoulders.
Instead of just the one, we have decided to make it two. They will be more to the left and right of the center of the chest, directly over the nipples. You can find those there. So, camo versions.
If you're a warrant officer, we pin it right underneath the under tit. Right. Yeah. So, you have to like, pull it up. You see it, like, oh. She's a chief warrant officer 3.
And you're also, exactly, yeah, right under the folds. And if you're a chief, whether you're man or woman, it's underneath your boob fold. Anyway,
FUPA.
Or FUPA, wherever, we don't judge. Anyways, the change, Chief of Naval Personnel Vice Admiral John Noel wrote, is based on feedback from the fleet. Last year, a sailor told Noel and other personnel leaders during a town hall event that the placement and look of the camouflage led to awkward and unintended consequences.
Personnel Vice Admiral, I've been looking at the tits, trying to decide the rank.
I mean, can you imagine being that Master Chief that's standing there watching one of your troops tell a fucking 3-star? Like, I'm having trouble not staring at my chief's tits whenever I'm trying to figure out what rank she is. Like, what are you doing?
Well, this is what the sailor said. I am uncomfortable staring at a female's chest to see her rank. It's hard to identify from even just a few feet away. Excuse me, ma'am. Can you come a little closer? I'm having a little... Why can't we go back to ranks on 8-point covers or something different? So the Navy has... Hey, but good on the Navy for taking that into account and switching things
up. I was just going to say, this is very uncommon in the military where, hey, your concerns have been heard and we're going to do something about it, as opposed to your concern has been heard and we're just going to keep on doing things the way we've always done them. So sorry.
Yeah, we're actually cutting 2 small holes in the uniform now. So everyone's bare nipples would just be out for no reason. Anyway, a lot of nipple talk.
Every 60 days that you've been in, you get to expose one nip at your 120-day mark. It's basically like getting the GYD.
Yeah. So there you have it. They even have a My Navy Uniforms app on the My Navy portal where you can put in comments and say, hey, here's how I'm feeling about XYZ. So good for the Navy.
Hey, if you got to do that with the Marine Corps uniform, Kate, what would you have done?
What would I have requested to be different?
Yeah.
Ooh. Nothing, dude. I fucking loved our camouflage uniforms. I fucking loved. The dress blues, I would have requested that we have the same as the men because women look fucking fire in little white belts. But we didn't get the belt. Hmm. We look stupid.
Yeah.
We look
that one, I think there was a it was at RGB's funeral whenever they had the full woman squad out there, and the leader of it was a Marine captain who was one of the first Marines to graduate from infantry officer course. And she had on the traditional Marine Corps junior officer with the like the sash on it. Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know what it's actually called because I don't concern myself with officer uniforms. Mm. But it looks fucking dope.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm. And that's that.
All right. Good on the Navy. We don't want any tit staring. We're a very anti-tit staring while you're in the military podcast. Right, Kate?
Absolutely. I'm not looking at any of your tits right now. I might say dump them out, chaps.
That's important. Yeah.
Let's not bring that back. Baby Dale is upset. I don't know if you guys can hear Baby Dale being upset.
In fact, we can.
He's upset. I'm going to have to move this motherfucker out here. But we're going to move on to round number three, which is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Rocky Boots. If you are in the military, one thing that needs to change is you need to take better care of your feet. You could do that with our friends at Rocky Boots because they are fantastic boots. They have boots for men and women who serve the country no matter what branch of service you're in. You could be the Army, Navy, Air Force, or you can be like our good friend and new Senator Mark Kelly, who is from the Merchant Marine Academy. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that. No, I was
not. Yeah, he went to the Merchant Marine Academy. That's where he went to school. Later went on to become a naval pilot and then an astronaut and now a senator. What a life that is. Shut up, Baby Dale. So RockyBoots.com is the place to go. Enter the promo code check our ZBT for 25% off of your next purchase there. RockyBoots.com. Enter the promo code ZBT. They're great boots at a great price. And I need to take my dog outside. I'll be right back.
You know why he's crying? They don't make Rocky Boots for dogs.
That he's really is
saying,
unfortunate.
I want that discount. I would like to go to Rocky Boots and find myself a nice pair.
Yes.
Well, what are you going to do?
Rocky Boots, if you're listening, which I know that you are, please consider canine boots.
Making dog boots.
Yeah. Especially nice. For our military working dogs.
I love my Rocky Boots.
Yes. In fact, they're very comfortable and stylish.
Didn't tear my feet up on the first wear, which is super rare for a pair of boots.
It's very rare for a pair of boots. It's probably the worst part about buying a new pair of boots is just knowing blister city when you get them.
Yeah.
So when you get a pair that is not like that, you rejoice and tell it to the heavens.
Good pair of socks, good pair of Rocky Boots. And you're set. You set it and forget it.
Set it.
All right, Chaps is sitting back down in his chair. He's putting his hat on. He doesn't know we're dragging this ad out.
No.
He doesn't know. We're just going to keep on talking.
The good folks at Rocky Boots.
Oh, Rocky Boots.
It's as if we were wearing a pair of Rocky Boots on a hike, and we didn't even have to stop to fix our feet because they're so comfortable.
Wearing clouds on your feet, Cons.
That's right.
Like beautiful cumulonimbus.
Oh, Chaps. You guys are still going with the ad?
Oh, yeah.
Because guess what? That has to be said.
Yep.
Wow. Congratulations to Rocky Boots for a way longer than they bargained for.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, let's move on to round number three, where we're going to talk about a Marine Lieutenant Colonel. And what was that rank again? Oh, what, Kate?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a hot
round. Oh, my goodness. High-ranking person there. You're absolutely right, Kate. There's a Marine Lieutenant Colonel who goes unpunished after stealing hundreds of dollars in merchandise from the PX. This comes to us from our friends at Task and Purpose. A Marine Lieutenant Colonel received no punishment after being convicted at a special court-martial in September of stealing hundreds of dollars in merchandise from the Post Exchange and Camp Humphrey, South Korea. Courts say Lieutenant Colonel Samuel Leave, who is 47, was convicted of larceny on September 11th at Camp Foster in Japan. The report noted that consistent with the plea agreement, the military judge did not impose punishment.
Yeah.
Wow.
No punishment.
Under military law, U.S. service members can face hefty fines, up to 1 year confinement, and dismissal from the service if convicted of larceny. But since Lee appeared before a special court-martial, the judge did not have the power to sentence him to confinement or dismissal. A no-punishment deal. I've never heard anything like that for an officer at a special court-martial, said Rob Butch Bracknell, the former Marine judge advocate who's had 22 years of service. Lee, a logistic officer's assigned to Marine Forces Korea was charged and convicted on violating Article 121 of the UCMJ, which derived from the larceny of non-military property valued at $1,000 or less. According to Lee's charge sheet, he was found guilty of stealing the following items: a 4K ultra high definition Wi-Fi free wire-free security system. So it's basically just like one of those, like a Ring device.
Like a Ring doorbell. But, and up to $600 they can cost, so keep that in mind.
Apple AirPods with a wireless charging system, about $130 there. Everybody needs that. He needed more headphones because he stole those noise-canceling headphones, which can retail from $200 to $400. And finally, I think this has to be...
I'm doing a drum roll.
Here we go. This is the last one. I bet you're not going to guess it. Some Estee Lauder Re-Nutriv Ultimate Diamond Energy Cream, which I guess he was concerned about. Some sunspots or something like that. It's 1.7 ounces, and it cost $405. So it essentially looks like one of those Burke's Beeswax little, or a Carmex can.
It's like a little Carmex thing. Yep. It is so small, and it is, and I mean, I complain about my face cream. It comes in these little jars, and it costs like $35, and that kills me. Just for Oil of Olay, this stuff is $405 for 1.7 ounces, and he stole it from the fucking PX. It comes with
It makes sense. The cost makes sense, Kate, when you look at some of the ingredients, and they include gold, coffee. You're not going to believe this one. Algae, a little bit of sunflower.
And it comes with a gold applicator spoon, so you don't have to
I mean, $400, if you're not getting at least a silver applicator, you're doing it wrong.
I would love if the spoon costs $400 and the lotion itself is worth $5 or some shit like that. Fun fact.
Can I tell you a sneaky joke about my Facebook groups? I know that you guys don't care about my Facebook groups.
Sure, absolutely.
But I'm a member of the SauceStop group, and one of the guys there selling his SauceStop. And these SauceStops are expensive. I still don't know who sent me it, they're like really expensive. The cheapest one is $1,300. This guy was selling his model, which is like a $5,000 model, but he was selling it for $3,200. But he posted it in the Facebook group by saying that he was selling the SauceStop hat for $3,200. And with the purchase of a hat came a free saw. Hilarious.
Oh, that's cute.
Cute
that's
as a cute. Button. Yes. Cute as a button.
What fun fact did you have for us, Kate?
That got me looking up expensive ass lotions. The most expensive on the market right now, $3,000 for about 5 1.3 ounce tubes that come in a tiny suitcase at Saks Fifth Avenue here in New York City. $3,000 for it. He should have gone there. But anyway, so this guy is stealing some expensive ass shit. This higher ranking officer, and he gets off with 20, he's got 23 years in service. He earns about $10,000 in basic pay a month. And yet he's still.
And also from my math, I'm not a mathematician, but I did take math for Marines. We listed off the things that he stole. He stole, so the cameras were $600, $300 to $600. The AirPods were $130. The AirPods or the Bose headphones were $200 to $400, and then the Estee Lauder shit was $405. How did he get convicted of $1,000 or less? To me, that's over $1,000.
Well, PX has great deals, you know.
Maybe that's exactly. Yeah, maybe he got the discount. Sale. He got the 05 discount.
Yeah. He and also got the military discount. Yeah.
Well, he got that along with the five-finger discount. Ho!
Well, this is making news and has people so riled up because Marines with far junior rank are always shit on so hard and get these really harsh punishments, when it seems like so often you hear these stories of higher-ups who go unpunished for way worse things. They had a couple
of... you get more than that if you lost your fucking ID card.
Yeah, and they include a few examples in this story to compare. So in January, a Lance Corporal with the Marine Corps Embassy, he was convicted of larceny, same thing that this major did, in Quantico, Virginia. He got 60 days restriction and was demoted to private. That's a cut in pay, too. And that same month, a sergeant at the recruit depot in South Carolina was convicted of stealing, and he was reduced in rank. And service members below the rank of sergeant, a mid-level enlisted grade, they make less than $3,000 a month. So here's this major, or whatever his rank is, making $10,000 a month. These guys are making less, and they're the ones getting absolutely fucked. So what the hell happened here?
I don't know. And I also don't know why we haven't mentioned this gentleman's name yet. His name was Lieutenant Colonel Samuel Lee. I think his name needs to be out there. I don't think we should protect him in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I read his name.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Sorry, I missed it. Anyway, here's my thought, though, too. I don't think at 23 years of service, you just wake up one day and think, you know what? I'm going to start stealing stuff. I think this dude has been lifting stuff from the PX, from Target, from all over the place. This is someone who's probably a serial stealer, and this is now he's just getting caught.
Sticky bandit Samuel Lee, that's what they call him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a wet bandit. He puts the sticky gloves, he's reaching in the ding-ding, the Santa holding the coin thing.
The Salvation Army bucket.
He's reaching in the Salvation Army bucket.
The thing that I don't understand here, one, why if I do get with the way that the Marine Corps works that there's only certain, officials that are doing the punishment, like overseeing the court martials who have a certain authority where you could take rank. Like, for example, a company commander, once you reach staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, a battalion commander doesn't even have the authority to take your rank. It has to be a general level court martial in order to remove a staff NCO from their rank. You have to have a general level officer that does that. So a lieutenant colonel, it's going to take something much higher. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's just like the award system, where if there is more rank, there is more responsibility. You for sure know if you're a lieutenant colonel, you can't be stealing from the PX.
Exactly.
Like the fact that they get no punishment, not even forced into retirement. I'm sure the retirement is coming because you can't. Once this story is out, he absolutely can't be the XO or a battalion commander anymore.
No
absolutely.
Shot.
I just want to know who above him to shame for this because that's a fucking shame. So 3 weeks before Lee got off scot-free for an almost identical offense, a private first class was demoted to private, sentenced to 4 months in prison, and forfeited more than half of their pay for over 4 months and was given a bad conduct discharge for a similar offense. Only 3 weeks before Lee got off scot-free. That's some bullshit.
And that's a PFC, man. Yeah. Like, somebody's brand new.
Yeah.
And last I checked, I would expect more out of an 05 lieutenant colonel than a PFC. Because also, I'd say once you're over the age of 10, you know you're not supposed to steal in any walk of life.
Oh, let's not shit on stealing. I love stealing.
It's pretty good. It's pretty fun.
And that just reminds me, to whomever in the Barstool office stole my Yeti 30-ounce tumbler,
coming for you?
I'm coming for that.
Maybe
ass.
It was this guy. He knows probably CBT. Was. He knows probably military
was.
Gear here.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sticky finger Samuel. Unbelievable. All right, let's move on to round number four. We're going to get into more punishments because it's not just old Lieutenant Colonel Lee that gets punishments or those PFCs. It's a little bit of everybody. And I think when you talk about, I think this is one thing that unites all branches of service, is that you have a punishment if you served and you were junior at any point, even officers. I think that you've done punishments that you felt were below you, like what
absolutely.
You should be doing.
Especially group punishments. I feel like so many times I got punished because of something somebody else did that was such bullshit where I was like, what the fuck, dude? Why am I in alphas digging sandbags
effective,
on a Saturday morning? Because Schmuckatelli did whatever. So right, keeping with the scene, that story brought up a lot of other people's stories about times that they were either fairly or unfairly punished or seeing people get away with stuff in the military. So ZBT asked, what is the most unfair punishment or lack thereof you ever saw in the military? I'm going to read some of these off to you. And you guys tell me fair or unfair. Okay?
Got it.
Okay. C. Cummins 11 said, I got ninja punched, aka NJP'd, for failure to report a fight. He didn't report a fight.
Unfair.
Depends on who was fighting. I think that you need more information there. I am a firm believer that same ranks or equivalent brackets can fight each other.
Agreed.
And there should be nothing that happens.
Agreed.
So if like two non-NCOs fight each other over a disagreement, I have no problem with that at all. Two corporals, two sergeants, a corporal and a sergeant fight each other, I have no problem with that at all. If it's different ranks fighting each other, like different brackets, then there might be a little bit of an issue, and that one probably should be brought up.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I would agree with that.
Okay, so sorry. We're glad you got ninja punched. At the dude 98.
Well, depending.
Right, depending.
It might have been two Lance Corporals.
Right, depending. That's true. The dude 9898 said some Air Force NCO reenlisted with a sock puppet and lost her career over it. I think he's referring to the Tennessee Air National Guard individuals in the viral dinosaur puppet reenlistment video, who they literally lost – They got totally fucked for it. She was doing it for her kids to make them laugh. I would say unfair punishment.
Yes, unfair. Yeah,
I mean, you should definitely get more punishment for stealing from the PX than you do for having a dinosaur on your hand during your reenlistment.
Yeah, Craig Oneism says he gets punished unfairly every time Cons brings up West Point football.
What the heck? Mm.
Fair.
What the heck?
It's an unfair punishment. I agree. At Hex 0811, 29 Palms in 2005, officer and enlisted from the same unit both get DUIs in the same weekend, same night, sit side by side in the drunk tank. The next week, enlisted gets NJP, and the NJP board for that.
What?
The officer who was in the drunk tank with him was on that board, NJP
board. And to me, that's a failure of that guy's leadership. Like, if you're the staff NCO there, you have got to tell your junior troop, do not take this shit. Like, from this guy, absolutely not. Do not take it.
Yeah. And I've found so many times, too, we would have guys in my unit who would say the same. Two guys go out in the town. They both get the same alcohol-related incident. If the command liked this guy,
100%,
they would sweep it under the rug. Yep. And if they didn't like the other guy, he would get fucked. It all depends on who you know and who likes you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like Exhibit A.
Yeah, yeah. You get totally depends. So we have Eric Humphreys, a staff sergeant, got caught sleeping with a junior enlisted's wife and only received a letter of reprimand.
Oof.
Tale as old as time.
Yes. Tale as old as time.
Can't do that.
Only a letter of reprimand. I would say that's
like, you know, there's certain aspects of that.
Or not fair.
And I know that we've treaded lightly here before. The fact that adultery is still punishable under UCMJ, I think is bullshit. Like,
I agree.
Is it bad that you do it? Of course. But does that have anything to do with good order and discipline? Maybe. Like, if it is your direct troop. But if you're just going out on town, say you're a staff NCO, you're an officer, your wife is at home, your husband is at home, and you go out and you cheat on them, and it has nothing to do with good order and discipline, the fuck does the military have to do with that?
Right.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Well, I'll play devil's advocate. I think because then there's the possibility that you get affected mentally by what's going on at home, and then maybe you're not able to perform your job properly.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get reduced in rank because you're going through a divorce, like just a normal situation.
That's
like
true.
Like if you didn't cheat.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like you're always going to have those personal things. I just think the military should stay out of your fucking bedroom. If it happens on off-duty hours and it's not affecting good order and discipline, I don't think they should be involved in it.
Yeah. If I want to go to a key party and mix it up with the officers and the wives and whoever, I'm tossing my keys.
Shocking to me that I just thought of this. We've been doing this show for 4 years now, over 300 episodes. The fact that we haven't mentioned, there's a lot of staff NCOs, senior enlisted, junior officers,
swingers,
that do swingers clubs.
Oh my god!
Oh.
Yes, half.
We need to have swinger episode on ZBT.
Base housing was infamous for swingers nights, and I
dildo
knew
dildo parties, those fucking horny ass dependent wives. My god!
I also knew lower enlisted guys around my rank would go to swingers. Some of the weirder ones were like, go to the swingers clubs in San Diego on the weekends. You'll never guess who I saw there. And it'd be all these other people from our command. It's like military people are freaking drinkers.
So I guess I'm the loser of the group. I didn't know this went on.
Old prude head ass over here.
I did not know this was a thing.
Well, the Army doesn't fuck like the Marine Corps does.
I had one Master Sergeant Ellis whenever I was in Quantico.
Government names.
Used to get fucking super freaky. Like they weren't hiding it at all. Like,
good for them. Fuck it.
Who cares?
That's too bad.
Just
I got
eyes wide shut on Quantico.
I'll give you one more from Pizza Coley. We got a ton of great answers, but keep it short. Some of my buddies briefly saw another sailor who went on to get a DUI later in the night. They had to get in dress whites and watch the quarter deck for days. Should they have gotten in trouble for that?
No.
I don't think so. You think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you do have some responsibility to be that good wingman, shipmate, devil.
Yeah, but who's to say when you saw them?
Later.
Yeah, who's to say when you saw them they could have been perfectly sober? Maybe they had just shown up to the bar.
Maybe I missed something.
So these guys are out in the town. They see another sailor, and they're like passing him like a ship in the night. That other sailor ends up getting a DUI hours later.
Yeah,
that's unfair.
I thought they would be more, like, directly close. Like, if you're with somebody and they get a DUI, I think you should be fucked, too.
Yeah, Absolutely. So anyway, long story short, we just wanted to reaffirm to everyone the military is unfair.
Very unfair. Yeah, and it's very unfair according to rank.
Yeah.
There I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Unfortunate. Actually, yeah. The one time I got in really bad trouble, got a letter of reprimand. I bet you if I was E5 or below, a lot worse would have happened than just getting the letter of reprimand and being told.
Oh, when you punched the window?
No, no, no. That was actually, so I never got a letter of reprimand for that. did you ever hear that story?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. That wasn't my fault. I placed my hand. I was pushed. That was not my fault.
Right.
But no, this was when we came home.
Responsibility. Hate to see it.
Wow. Shame. Sad.
Unbecoming. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, we can move on now.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to go on to round number 5. Where I'm probably going to get triggered because it involves PT gear at the old PX where Lieutenant Colonel Lee likes to steal. So if he's yelling at you, he's probably pissed off that he doesn't have room in his pockets because he's wearing PT gear in there now. That should be his punishment. You're not allowed to go to the PX in anything but PT gear again. Because if you go in there with cargo pockets, who knows what's going to happen.
Mm. Exactly. No pockets for that man. Even on his uniform, they should just take all... Anybody
even
who
though
steals,
you're not supposed to use your cargo pockets.
Anyone who steals in the military should have all their pockets sewn shut and removed. That's it.
I think we should sew them shut anyways. Why do we have cargo pockets? You're not allowed to use those things.
Chaps, I agree. I agree with you. But it did just get a lot easier for troops and families to hit the commissary or exchange after the gym or their kid's soccer game or whatever. Defense Secretary Mark Esper, while he's still there, hanging out up there, he sent a memo to top military leaders immediately authorizing physical fitness attire at commissaries and exchanges across the globe. The move puts an end to the longstanding dress codes, barring shoppers from entering the stores in athletic shorts and spandex-style gym attire like my beloved yoga pants. The rules apply not only to active duty service members, but millions of spouses and children and retirees authorized on base, too. I had no idea spouses had some kind of dress code. Why?
I didn't either. And honestly, I guess
it's the base dress code. Like technically, what? You're not supposed to wear, like even if you're a civilian, you're not supposed to wear like hats and stuff indoors.
Yeah. I got to tell you, maybe this is just showing my age and it was so long ago that I can't remember correctly. I just thought this wasn't even a thing. I feel like I could remember going into the PX in PT.
Yeah, you
here.
Guys were allowed to. This
I thought so,
targeted
yeah.
directly at Marines. I okay. believe. Like, we were the only ones who weren't allowed. And I think that there should be caveats here. Like, if you're on a big base, like, say, Camp Pendleton, there's no reason for you to go into the PX if you're in PT gear. Now, I think the shopette or the gas station is very different. Like, if you need to go get something quickly there, you don't need to be shopping in fucking PT gear. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if that's just, like, the staff and CO side of my brain. But to me, that is not a uniform. You're supposed to have like a certain level of decorum, a certain level of professional. That's a uniform. It's not a uniform to be in the PX.
Well, part of this change came after there's story after story after story like this one that started making its way to the top where people were like, all right, we got to reassess. In 2014, a 7-year-old and his mom were turned away from the commissary at Kenohi Bay. I'm probably butchering that in Hawaii because the boy was wearing workout clothes. It was just a 7-year-old boy. A Marine outside the commissary turned them away. Laura Carruthers, a Navy wife, told the Navy Times. I didn't realize the rules applied to play clothes, she told the paper. Her son was wearing athletic shorts when he was denied entry. The incident stuck with the boy, who was later terrified to go to the commissary for groceries, saying, I'm not dressed right, Mommy. I can't go. Who is this Marine?
Yeah, that's an easy fix. It does not apply to civilians or children.
Right. Who is like, this if you dickhead have... Marine, though?
Yeah. Well, this right. is like this is what? Like in A Few Good Men. He's like, oh, they're very fanatical down there. About what? About being Marines. That's exactly
yeah,
what this
that's
is going on here. Yeah.
Like a child? Come on, man. Like, I understand... You cannot go in the military version of PT gear. If you're wearing civilian attire and you're wearing Under Armour or Nike or Reebok or whatever gear, that's fine. But the green on green, the black on gray, whatever you wear in the other branches of service, you can't wear that shit. But you can wear whatever you want, civilian attire, like as far as workout gear. just not the official military uniform. I think that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. I'd be all over. I'm such a dirtbag. If I was in, I'd be like, fuck. I'd be in green on greens and doing all my shopping all day. You would be.
I think I would get in trouble for hazing. Like, if I was still in for that one, I'd be like, I don't care what the Secretary of Defense says. You're not going to fucking wear it.
I think Marine
not Corps, my Corps.
Marine Corps chaps would have hated me.
I would love to have known Marine Corps chaps, just for the chaps that we know now, because I think they are just diametrically opposed to one another.
No different. I mean, there's Marines that I had, like I told you, like I've had Marines who were mine that listened to the show for a year and a half, 2 years, had no idea that it was me. And then whenever I would say like my actual last name or something, they would DM me like, holy fucking shit. I had no idea that you had a personality that wasn't just an asshole.
Yeah. Yep. You would have hated me.
Yeah. I think Marine Corps chaps definitely would have hated Marine Corps Kate.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. None.
And then Marine Corps chaps would have saluted me and called me sir. And then snickered and talked shit behind my back.
Mm-hmm. I would talk shit to your face, too.
Yeah, that too.
Fair. No, sir. I'd tell you right to your face.
That's very Staff NCO.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, there's certain – my old company commander that I still keep in touch with, he'll call me from time to time, and I'll ask him what he's doing, and – I'll be like, well, what are you fucking up now? Like, who's stopping you from fucking up? He's like, fuck you, dog. Like, you know, you didn't teach me how to do shit. I'm like, oh, except for everything you know. How about that?
Yeah, and I kept you from stepping in shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That motherfucker, I told him, I had to remind him the last time because we had a moment on Quantico where the battalion commander was out on leave. The battalion sergeant major was out on leave. And then the first sergeant, Lugo, had his baby way earlier while the sergeant major was supposed to be on leave. So first sergeant Lugo was supposed to be the acting sergeant major. He had to go on emergency leave because he had his baby. So I was a sergeant acting as the acting sergeant major of the entire battalion. And Bill, like the captain, was the acting colonel. Like he was the acting battalion commander. He was like 45 minutes late for a ceremony, and I was just standing out there. I told him. My first sergeant came in after all the Marines waited for like 30 or 45 minutes and bitched me the fuck out. I mean, his wife must have had the baby no shorter than like 2 or 3 hours prior to that, and he drove in just to scream at me and say, I don't care how many times you tell him, the Marines don't wait that long. If you need to, you go and grab him by his bitch-ass collar and drag him out to the formation.
Yep.
No Marines wait for that long. Yep. And I was like, sorry. And he just made me – and I didn't ever want to disappoint him. And still, like, he's still a huge mentor to me. And so disappointing somebody like that is crushing. Like, when you disappoint somebody that you really, really respect – it's almost like a dad relationship, mm-hmm. like when you have that mentor where you have – did you have that person, Kate, that you really looked up to and respected as a Marine?
Oh, yeah. There was like 2 or 3 staff NCOs. I had a sergeant and 2 staff NCOs who – I would have done anything for them. I like went – and the reason I pushed myself so hard was because I didn't want to let them down. For mm-hmm. sure. Absolutely.
I had a first sergeant, top bird, even you know, crossing the officer enlisted ranks.
Yeah.
Same type of deal. Definitely didn't want to let that guy down because I knew he had a lot of great information, a lot of great experiences to give. And he gave not just me, but all of the young lieutenants a lot of leeway, a lot of room to operate, and respected that there was that divide between, even though he had a lot more service and a lot more experience than us, respected the rank and still guided us in such a way that it wasn't condescending at all, and I always really respected that.
All that being said, despite what they told us privately, because they'll change rules like this, like you can wear your PT clothes to the PX now, and then your staff NCOs would be like, no, the fuck, you can't. Specifically, you guys, my unit. I would still be like, nope, rules.
That's
rule.
As loose as the order can be, but yeah. I can tighten it.
Exactly. So there you go. I'll steal my PT gear.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to little save rounds alibis. First, I'll mention that our guy Kyle is off doing collegiate shit, taking care and utilizing his GI Bill. If you are a veteran and you're not doing that, you're an idiot. Make sure that you're using your GI Bill. It's free money. Even if you go to some shitty community college and you don't care about it, just get that free $1,500 or whatever a month. Mm-hmm. Just do it. You earned it. It's a right that you have. Why not do it? Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Yes, obviously bummed about the Air Force game not happening, but shout to the Army prep football team who beat the Air Force prep football team today, which is always good to beat them no matter what. Two things quickly. The Things They Carried by Tim O'Brien, the book about his service in Vietnam, was announced this week that they're turning that into a movie with some pretty prominent actors. So interesting to see how that gets made. Obviously, it's a book that isn't just read in military circles. I know a lot of high schools will have students read that book. Right, it's a really good one. So it's exciting to see that. I hope to have Tim O'Brien on the show one day. I'd love to sit down and chat with him. I think that's somebody that would jive very well with how we do things here. So hopefully, Tim O'Brien, if you're a ZBT listener, reach out to us.
And Shia LaBeouf, if you're out there, I hope you are in that movie with your shirt off.
And then lastly, I'm curious what you guys think too. So Indiana University football team released today that they will be wearing salute to service uniforms in these god-awful, hideous camo unis on Saturday.
All you smug motherfuckers complaining about all these schools and establishments giving a tip of the hat to our U.S. service members, shut up. That's what I think.
They just want to sell merch.
Exactly. I think it's pandering because, gosh, like, what military is wearing this thing?
They're pretty bad.
It's just so you can wear an Indiana University hoodie out while you're hunting. That's it.
Yeah, it's ugly, man.
It's a good a good hunting jersey.
Good initiative, bad judgment on whoever the heck designed these bad boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jordan Berry's going to be pissed at Cons. What do you got, Kate?
What do I got? As of the end of the show, we thought, well, wouldn't it be neat if some big decision was made while we were doing the show on this Thursday evening? No, literally all the stats are exactly the same as when the show began. So no new updates. But again, I'm seeing these videos of like 100 years old and he voted and, you know, he's voted in every election since 1982 and immigrants who are citizens now who are voting for the first time. And despite the gaggle fuck, there's still so much good about this country. I'm just feeling like a ball of love for this country. Either way it goes, we're going to be just damn fine. And congrats to all the vets who won spots in the House and the Senate and whatever it is and small town, whatever. Congrats to you. Even if you were a shitbag in the military. At least you're out there doing whatever. So that's all I got.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much either. It's been a long week of just constantly refreshing the news. I'll be glad whenever it's all over. And then we'll get back to, our normal scheduled program. Sound the retreat.
Sounding it.
running out of time, 'cause I can see the sunlight of the sky. So I hit the road in overdrive, baby. Oh, this city's cold and empty. No water around to touch me. I can't see clearly when you're gone, gone, gone. And I say, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. And I said, ooh, I'm drowning in the night. Oh, when I'm like this, you're the one I trust. I'm just walking by to let you know, I can never say it on the phone. We'll never let you go this time.